Good morning, church family. I am so excited to be here this morning and to know that even though we are all in separate homes and maybe in our pajamas having a cup of coffee, God's with us no matter where we're at. And so the social distancing definitely takes its toll, but we know who is in control and we know who is victorious through all this. And we know that we are more than conquerors. So we need to show our world and the people we work with, the people we come across, that our God's got this. And it's going to be... I believe that we're going to have some amazing days ahead, especially when we first come back and start sharing and worshiping together. It's going to be amazing. So this morning, Pastor Joe asked me to bring the word, and so I'd like to open up with prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that you don't fit in a box. We thank you that you are the God that transcends even our homes and where we're at. And God, we come to you this morning on Palm Sunday, going into this exciting season, being able to truly reflect on what road you had to travel this week. And so God, we just pray that you would be with us this morning. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for being with us and for protection. We pray, God, that you would just guide everything that is said this morning, because it's not about us. It's all about you. And may we celebrate you this morning as we decide and as we discuss and talk about Palm Sunday. We love you, Lord, and we just pray that you would go before. In Jesus' name, amen. So Pastor Joe has spoken a lot about the love of God, and then last week it was about the love of Jesus. And so I was wanting to not leave out the Holy Spirit this morning. But today is Palm Sunday, and it's getting close to one of my favorite celebrations, which is Easter. We're going to be going into several different passages this morning, but we're going to begin in John 12:13. It says, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." That crowd welcomed him in Jerusalem that day. But let's take a little bit of a look about what happened before this, what led up to this day. One day earlier, Jesus had gone and attended a really special dinner, and it was with Lazarus, who was now a dead man walking. And he was walking, talking with Mary and Martha. And I can imagine it was a very intimate and special time. But after dinner, Mary had taken the time and gone to her room, gotten her expensive perfume, and she brought it out. And Jesus was seated at the table. And she began to pour that expensive oil and perfume over his feet and began to wipe it with her hair. What a sweet display of respect, humbleness, and honor that she gave to Jesus that night. And you can imagine that the perfume just filled the house. Well, the disciples were all there. And the passage states Judas was present and actually had the audacity to question Mary's motives. And he said, "Why didn't you sell that expensive perfume and give the money to the poor?" But we find out that really Judas had his own agenda, because verse 6 says he didn't say this because he cared for the poor and because he was wanting to do good, but it was because he was a thief. He wanted to keep that money. He actually took the money and cared for the money of the 12 disciples. He was a money holder. And he used to help himself to it and what was put into it. So he was really wanting to kind of fatten his own pocket. But in verse 7, Jesus says, "Leave her alone. It was my intent that she should save, it was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You're going to always have poor among you, but you will not always have me." And so with that, he defended Mary. Jesus defended Mary. and he told them then that he wasn't going to be around forever. So when you think about it, as Judas was, his agenda was something totally different, Jesus told him, "You're not going to have me forever. I'm not going to be around." Now, because of Jesus' ministry, we know there were always groupies following Jesus. There was always somebody around that followed Jesus. And they'd come to only see Jesus. But a lot of times, especially after a dead man came alive, they were like, "Wait, we got to see Lazarus too." And so that crowd assembled because they not only wanted to see Jesus, but they wanted to see Lazarus. And, you know, when a crowd gets together, if you're people watchers, you'll enjoy this because many times in an airport I would watch, or in Europe especially, there'd be street artists or musicians, and crowds would just gravitate to this, watching them sing, paint, or act. And I noticed that the inner group around the actor was always very intent, very engaged in what was going on. The middle group kind of stood around with this curiosity that kind of thought, what is this? What's going on? And then the outer group were those that like, "Oh, this is such a scam. This is just, I don't know." They were questioning. They maybe were kind of more judging, you know, what is the intent of this guy? And they were kind of skeptical. And they were always trying to figure out what more was there to be. Well, when this crowd came around and started watching and talking to, watching Jesus, I'm sure that same type of people surrounded him, and especially with Lazarus there, those that were really engaged, that really knew that, wow, this has happened. I am a true believer. I understand. I know these are facts. My sight, what I see, cannot deny the fact that Lazarus is alive. And then you get that outer or middle portion that are like, "Well, I've heard about it, but I'm not really sure." And then you get that outer portion that are the Pharisees, basically. And those Pharisees are standing around talking amongst themselves. What is it? What is it about this guy? He's infringing on our ground. What is it about this guy? We know that in verse 9 it says they were there not only because of Jesus, but to see Lazarus. The chief priests, who were probably on the outlying edges of the crowd, began to make plans. Now we know they had plans to kill Jesus, but their plans were also to kill Lazarus because his testimony was undeniable. He was a dead man walking. So that was what really led up to that Palm Sunday. A sweet time in a home with special friends, an anointing that happened. And then a crowd that welcomed him singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So Palm Sunday was a sweet, special, and intimate time with his closest friends. And then he entered into Jerusalem. Now, I looked up a little bit of facts, a few facts about palms and the palm trees. And palms symbolize goodness and wisdom. And so as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the symbols of goodness and wisdom were being waved to welcome him. And he came in on a sweet little donkey. The crowd was filled with all types and shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna expresses adoration and joy and praise. So the picture is our king riding in on a donkey, not a royal carriage, but a humble donkey. He rode in knowing what was ahead of him, knowing what was about to unfold. So, Palm Sunday. I want to take a minute now and talk to the kids for a little bit. I hope you guys are all spending good time with your family. I hope you're obeying mom and dad. I hope you're making good memories. You guys will be able to tell people in years to come as an adult and a young adult that you are definitely lived through the coronavirus. But I can't wait to see each of you. I miss all your hugs. But I want to talk to you a little bit about eggs. Now, eggs, it's Easter, right? So we are so excited about Easter egg hunts. And we're going to have to be kind of creative in what we do. At home, you may be able to hide them and find them with your brothers and sisters. And can I tell you a little story? My brother and I, we were living in Cape Verde Islands, and my brother and I, we had boiled and colored some eggs, and we hid them around the house, and we were so excited. And if you hide them in the house, I need to tell you, you need to remember where you put them, because my brother and I lost one, and we couldn't find it. And so about a week or two later, that sucker started to stink. And so anyway, mom nearly killed us for that one. But anyway, I want to talk to you guys about egg. And I started thinking about the egg and thinking, oh, you know, Easter eggs, that's what we celebrate. And then as I started preparing for this, I thought, this is a great example of Easter because we have eggs. But an egg has a shell, and in the shell, we can crack it. We've got the white. Now, I'm going to just let that white kind of plop out here. That's kind of gross, but there we go. And so we have a shell, we have the white, and then we have the yellow yolk. So, you can't have an egg without a shell. You can't have an egg without a yolk. And you definitely can't have an egg without a white. So, it's kind of like what God is. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. So this Easter, I would like for you guys, as you hide your eggs, think about God. Think about Him being three in one. He's all three of those in one. So now I want to go back to this talking about Jesus coming in on a donkey. I often have thought, what in the world was going through his mind at that point? He could hear the hosannas. He saw the palm branches and he saw the crowd, but he kind of knew what he was up against. He knew what he was going to be facing. He knew for a fact God had sent him. We know that. We know that Jesus lived out obedience with his life here on earth. And we know, and Jesus knew, that even though he may leave the earth, the Holy Spirit was still coming to stay. So this day, as he rode into Jerusalem, was just a part of living out obediently here on earth. But he also knew that it wasn't going to end there. And even though he would have to suffer a terrible, terrible death, he knew that the Holy Spirit was going to be on its way. So as he suffered and he died on Calvary, and then he rose from the dead, I just wonder if he had a bit of excitement in him when he thought and he appeared to his disciples as a risen Savior. I'm going to read John 20, 19 through 22. And it says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands. He showed him his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So we are to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus was so excited that he was leaving the Holy Spirit for his disciples and for us as they started their ministry for him, as we live out our ministry every day. The Holy Spirit is a gift, and we are to cherish it. It should bring us joy to know that we have direct access to the Holy Spirit. We are to listen to the Holy Spirit. Luke 12:11-12 says, "When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." We have got to listen and learn to listen to that sweet voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we only focus on the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit about the do's and the don'ts and the shoulds and shouldn'ts. But there's that comforting, guiding voice and a wise voice that tells us all that we need, that will give us the words we need to speak. And we have to learn to listen to it. And finally, we just have to respond. Hebrews 3:7-15 says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger. They shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." We have to come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. So we saw in verse 7 and in verse 15, they're repeating itself. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Our response will determine how we react. Our response will actually show our heart. Our response can be one of ignoring his sweet, loving voice or listening humbly to his instruction. He will never, ever force himself on us. Jesus never forced himself on anyone. He always spoke and left it up to the people and their response. It's how the Holy Spirit does with us today. So in closing, as Jesus rode in with the crowd singing, "Hosanna in the highest, and blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," may we understand that his road to Gethsemane and Calvary resulted in us receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. My challenge to each of us is we need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to listen to his sweet voice, and we need to respond with a soft and fertile heart in order to grow into what God wants us to be. And always remember, an egg. An egg is not an egg without a shell, a yolk, or a white. Our triune God is a Father's love, a Son's obedience, and the continuous presence of his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that as we enter this season of Easter, we can know that there is so much we can learn from the story, from the events that happened. There's so much of the historical side. But Lord, today we ask, we pray, and we plead that you will do a work in each one of us. That as we seek you, we will find you. And when we seek someone, we're listening for them. And Lord, as we listen to your sweet Holy Spirit that wants to guide, that wants to transform us into your likeness, that you will keep our hearts soft and tender and obedient to your will. God, we pray you would give us strength, you would give us courage over the next few weeks. We do not know what tomorrow holds. We do not know what exactly is going to happen over the next few months, but we know, God, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are the God of Abraham, you are the God of Jesus, you are God, you are Jesus, and you have sent us the Holy Spirit. So without a shadow of a doubt, we can stand here and know, God, that you walk with us, you do not leave us, and more importantly, you have left the Holy Spirit for us, so that as the days get harder, as normal becomes returns to us, we will be able to stand firm, listening to your sweet voice, knowing that nothing is wasted. And pray, God, that during this time, we will take advantage of getting into your word. And we will give you glory for all that you have and all that we know that you want to do through us. May we bless you this week. May your sweet spirit be with us as we read the events of Easter with our family. And even though this Easter will be a little different, I pray, God, your Holy Spirit would fill every room in every house, and that your spirit would make changes, that your spirit would come and open up blind eyes, that your sweet spirit would come and heal hearts, because we know you're on the move, God, and we just wait expectantly for when you come. Lord, we thank you again for this time. Thank you for technology. Thank you for people that have skills to be able to pull this all off. And thank you more than anything for our church family, for NACNAS. And God, I pray that you just make us stronger. So when we come back together, it's going to be a service of rejoicing and of just being able to talk about what you've done in each one of our lives. And we will give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.